apparently I have a body that is right now, seated among the Celestials. Yeah, right now. No, now, as I speak. Yeah, I see, my body's in Pennsylvania right now, but I got another body that's in heaven with Jesus and God. That's what a guy told me today. Called me on the phone and told me that. I shouldn't have answered it. That was a mistake. I was hoping it was a, you know, salesperson, but it wasn't. Yeah, I was like, hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder. It was a guy I used to know that I haven't talked to in a while, and he says, I'm really missing out. He says, someday I'm going to see that he's right, that the Spirit of God is now seating me among the Celestials, and that I've been so wrong over the years to teach the literal Word of God, and that the word Spirit, and this literal word that people like me, and Dan Sheridan, and Clyde Pilkington, and the entire Concordant Publishing concern, this literal word, the letter we write to you, and we use letters of the alphabet, like A, B, let me think of another one, like D, I like to use G's and F's, once in a while I'll throw in a W. Well, these are the letter kills. So I've been making a huge mistake all these years writing to you, putting words together with letters, because I was told today the letter kills. And someday when I stand before Christ, I'm going to have to answer for the information I got today on the phone, that the truth was given to me, that the letter kills. And then I somehow should have been writing with spiritual words. I don't know how you put those together. I don't know what alphabet you use, but terrible me. You know, and I'm going to answer for it. It's going to be a scary day for me at the dais of Christ, if I'm lucky enough to be at the dais of Christ. Well, I might even be at the dais of Christ right now. My other body might be there. But this body's stuck in Pennsylvania, which sucks. So I'm in a bad way, folks. And this guy told me that, all right, I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you? All right, this guy told me that he would have known all about Jesus Christ. He did not need the scriptures, because the scriptures consist of a primitive alphabet. Even the Greek had an alphabet, Alpha and Omega, Sigma, Beta, Phi, Pi, whatever, Catcher in the Rye, I don't know, whatever those letters are in Greek. They had letters, and that's just so unspiritual, so primitive. This guy would have known about Jesus Christ. I know this because I asked him. I told him. I said, you would not know anything about, you who have this great spiritual knowledge, spiritual information. I said, you would not have had any information about Jesus Christ if you hadn't read it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not true. What do you mean it's not true? How would you have known of Jesus Christ? You would have dreamed it in the middle of the night. You would have spilled your oatmeal and seen the face of Jesus and written in the oats. What is your problem? But I was much calmer with him than I am with you now, because I'm venting now. I couldn't vent then because I'm kind and very cautious and very, very respectful in person. The guy said, I know you're going to hang up on me, Martin. And no, I'm not going to hang up on you. I want to, but I'm not going to, because I'm respectful. And I don't hang up on anybody. I don't. I said, keep telling me what you want to tell me. I'm always open to it. Like, I think, okay, maybe God's going to tell me something here. So he goes off on this thing of, we're in spirit right now. I'm just rolling my eyes. Oh, my God. He says, someday you're going to know, Martin. I said, no, you know what? Someday you might read E.W. Bullinger's Figures of Speech Used in the Bible. Then you will read of the figure of speech known as prolepsis, where God calls what is not as if it were. And then you wouldn't make the mistake of reading things that appear to be facts in the scriptures, like we are now seated among the celestials in the heavenly places, Ephesians 2. You'll be able to read verses like that and realize it's a figure of speech known as prolepsis. And then you could come to a realization now. You won't have to be like poor old me who has to wait till it gets to the dais. You'll be able to get it now. And he just said, oh, Martin. And I said, look, you know, I said, when Jesus held up the piece of bread and said, this is my body, it was a figure of speech. It was a metaphor. And he said, well, it doesn't say in the scripture it's a metaphor. I said, that's true. Jesus Christ did not hold up the bread and say, this is my body, be aware that this is a metaphor. You don't have to do that for a simile. If it was a simile, Jesus Christ would have said, this bread is like my body. And then we all would have understood it, and the Catholic Church wouldn't have gone off in deep, dark deception concerning the body of Christ, thinking that the bread is the literal body of Christ. You eat his body, drink his blood. Oh, he told me that too. Martin, every day we eat his body, drink his blood. I said, that's gross. What are you talking about? We partake of his body. I said, literally? He goes, yes. Literally, we eat the body of Christ. Yes. Oh, I don't even understand that. What do you call those people? Those people that eat other people, they put them in the pot in the jungle. Yeah, not cannibals. Yeah, I'm thinking carnivores. No, they're carnivores as well. Cannibals are carnivores. Every cannibal is a carnivore, but not every carnivore is a cannibal. So he's just so mixed up, and all he needs is to understand figures of speech. And I told him that. I said, you just need to read Bullinger's book. This will solve all your problems. No, Martin, your problems will be solved, but not until the dais when you stand before God and you realize that wisdom was in your grasp. And you will see that this telephone call, you will remember this telephone call, and that the truth was unloaded to you. And you had an opportunity. You thought it was a salesperson. You wished it was somebody selling you knives or Tupperware, but no, it was me telling you the truth about you have another body right now, this very minute, standing at the right hand of God, and you have so much spiritual truth, but no, you have to use letters of the alphabet, you primitive soul. If you could only learn to communicate spiritually, then you would be sophisticated, and you would be tuned into the spirit. Don't you realize, Martin, that we're tuned into the spirit, and God is living in us? I said, what? God's living in us. I said, no, it's the Spirit of God making its home in us. God's Spirit testifying to my spirit. Oh, Martin, you're missing the boat. God is living in you. Now, the Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of Christ is in me. I have the Spirit in measure. So I'm just getting totally practical on the guy, which is spiritual. Don't mistake me, friends. Practical is spiritual. All this stuff is this stuff. Well, Martin's too intellectual. I have gotten that so much over the years. You're so intellectual, and you look at this analytically and logically, and okay, if we're not to look at it logically, then what are we supposed to say? What's the opposite of logic? Anybody. Yeah, illogic. So we're saying God is illogical? Is that what we're saying? The spiritual equal illogical. No, it doesn't. The opposite of spiritual is soulish, and this guy was soulish because he's emotional. Martin, you're going to know this someday. And he was using a technique called special pleading, where I'm just supposed to believe him because he's pleading with me to believe him. And after I figured out what was going on there, I said, I've heard this 100 times, and you're not going to convince me. I know the scriptures. And by the way, I said to him, you know, the letter killeth, but he kept you saying killeth. You know, they have to say that. King James is so smart. The letter killeth. I said, what do you mean it killeth? Why does it killeth? Why can't it just kill? Because it's spiritual to say eth at the end of it. So I said the letter that killeth is the, that sounds like Daffy Duck. The letter that killeth is the law that came from Mount Sinai. It's the Mount Sinai law that killeth. The letter doesn't kill us. The law killeth. You can't write except you use letters. And I tried to tell him this, and he didn't get it. Very, very interesting. I tried to talk to him this way. I tried to talk to him like Elmer Fudd. You just need to read Dr. Bullinger's book, Figures of Speech, in the Bible. I wrote the foreword, me, Elmer Fudd. It's very, very intellectual. You think you're very intellectual because you throw out the literal meanings of words? Well, everything's literal unless it's a figure of speech. And if you don't know figures of speech, you're going to say very, very stupid things like you have a different body. You have another body besides the one you have now, and it's seated with God right now. You're not tapping into the pleasures of the spirit that you can be having right now, Martin Zender. Too bad you're unaware of the true spiritual calling. I'm getting this off my chest with you right now, and I appreciate that too. So this leads me to our topic today, which I've been promising you, and that comes from Hebrews 10. The reason, well, it does in an indirect way. No, Hebrews 11, sorry. I was reading A.E. Nock commentary, and he's another one of those stupid literalists, according to my friend on the phone. Which says, now we're referencing back to, remember I said that the eons have been adjusted, and the King James says the worlds have been framed, and that's a totally wrong translation. I'm going to reread Knox's commentary here, A.E. Knock, K-N-O-C-H. It's not knock, like you knock on a door, and it's not Knox, K-N-O-X. It's K-N-O-C-H. It's German. Knock, knock. Okay, get the guttural sound. Knock, A.E. Knock. So we're going to read A.E. Knock in Hebrews 11, starting with verse 3. That the worlds were framed is not pertinent to this passage. It deals with the change in God's administration of the eons as a result of the refusal of the kingdom proclamation. God has come in afresh, and through the revelations made to the Apostle Paul, has readjusted the eons to suit the conditions brought about by the apostasy of Israel. Those associated with this new grace find that in spirit, not the kingdom, but the new creation has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to stop right there. All right, now, you might think it's bad news, like, okay, Zender, poor Hebrews. The kingdom didn't come. That's true, but we are now in a new creation. It's a figure of speech. We're not literally in it. It's prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were, but it has come to us in spirit. Not only that, but the consummations of the eons have arrived to us in spirit, not in fact. It's prolepsis. I really want you to go to studyshelf.com. If you didn't do this the last time I asked you to do this, I'm going to ask you to do this again, because this is going to make a lot of scriptures make sense to you that never made sense to you. And it's going to keep you from making fatal, stupid mistakes like my friend made on the phone today. Or he articulated to me on the phone today, apparently has already made them. So go to studyshelf.com and go to videos. There's a little icon on the right, videos. You hit that, and then it divides, and you see different places. Go to Treasure Lake, Pennsylvania. That was the name of the resort where we were. And then go to my talk, which is called something like Prolepsis, my favorite figure of speech, something like that. So go there, and you'll learn all about prolepsis. Yeah, it's not that complicated. It's God calling what is not as though it were. Now, A.E. Knox says that the kingdom, that we're in the new creation. Explain that, Martin. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'll explain it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. How are we supposed to see this? Because I look out the window and I'm still in Windburg, Pennsylvania. Well, it's come in spirit now. In spirit, we hop, skip, and jump over Israel. So we don't have to wait for the thousand-year kingdom. We anticipate these blessings that will come in the fifth eon, the new creation, right? The 1,000-year kingdom is not a new creation. Even when it comes, it's going to be a regenerated earth. It's a reborn earth, which it will correspond with the reborn nation of Israel. You're taking the same raw material and you're redoing it. You're reforming it. But the new creation, that's going to come during Eon 5. When you blow up the present earth, Peter talks about that, 2 Peter chapter 2, you blow it up and you have a new heavens and a new earth. Well, Paul is hinting here that this new creation is now ours to apprehend, to come to a realization of it. This is a figure of speech here called prolepsis. There is a new creation. The primitive passed by. It's a figure of speech. Look out the window. If you don't realize it's a figure of speech, look out the window. It's not a new creation. It's the same old crap that you saw yesterday out your window. No matter where you are, at your work, at your home, whatever. Same crap. Don't be talked it. Don't think you have to, like, get some crazy idea that we're here. But it's so real. God wants us to anticipate it so much. He wants us to taste of it, that he speaks of it as though it's now. It's a wonderful figure of speech because it's so going to happen. It's so guaranteed that he talks about it like it's already done. And there's another place where this happens in Romans chapter 3. I'm going long. I know. I'm way over my time. In Romans chapter 3, we talk about Abraham, and it actually really defines the figure of speech. God said to Abraham, a father of many nations, I have appointed you. I have appointed you a father of many nations. Now, at the time God made that statement, Abraham was childless. But Abraham faces that promise and quote, Romans 4:17, and Abraham believes it of the God who is vivifying the dead and calling what is not as if it were. Calling what is not as if it were. So I guess I'm telling you, in relating to Hebrews here, that we don't have to be disappointed with the Jews. We're still waiting for our kingdom, yes, and the Jews are definitely still waiting for theirs. But in the meantime, we don't have to be slogging along down here in our minds and our apprehensions. We can look forward to this so much that it's so guaranteed that we can taste. It's a foretaste of the joys of no condemnation and the joys of peace, the joys of conciliation. It's not here right now because you still feel like crap and your driveway's still got snow all over it, but it's so real and it's so guaranteed. It's so coming that God talks about it as though it were. Figure of speech, prolepsis. Go to studyshelf.com. Check it out.